Hello and welcome to Danny Golden's podcast. This is episode 5 with the lovely and talented Miss Heidi Bacani, licensed marriage family therapist. Welcome.
Hi, Danny. So good to see you again.
And I you too.
We have been looking forward to this conversation.
Round two. Yes, Heidi and I tried filming this before the break, and there were some massive echoes, which would have required editing the entire episode. Yeah. So we're going to take two. So for all of for those of you who missed it, episode 4, we dissected the digital short "Disastrous Dinner with Boyfriend's Family." Check it out; it's on DannyGolden.com. That's great if you are having issues with a significant other's parents, whether you're married, in a relationship, whatever your current status is. So check that out. Today we are going to talk about a musing I wrote called Letting Go. And it's definitely something that I feel like I've tried to navigate my whole life. So I don't feel like I'm alone in that department. So I think it's worthy of a podcast conversation.
Yeah, letting go. It's so vague.
It really is. It's so clear when you are able to see it with other people, but when it comes to myself, it is not so clear. It's definitely very vague. So before I read the musing, let's go and start with the disclaimer, Heidi.
Oh, yes. Okay. So for the viewers and the listeners, please keep in mind this podcast, the purpose of it is for educational and entertainment purposes. It's not meant to replace a therapy session in any way, shape, or form. And please enjoy it.
Thank you. Well done. Okay, so letting go. I'm in my prime. I think it's time I stopped white-knuckling it. Sound the alarm, stop focusing on the harm, surrender, and choose to be above it. Relinquish the grip. I am more than well equipped. I can definitely handle this. Disengage, exit this cage, run for the fun of it. Put down the weapon, learn the lessons, be grateful for the blessings, no more second guessing. It is time to be free, no one to please, focusing on me, the joy and satisfaction to just be. Drop the weight. I am no longer afraid to see what transpires. When my energy is lighter, I am more than inspired. No more focusing on the past. It is time to take a pass at what it would be like to finally let go. I didn't know how free I would feel or how it would be. I just held on blindly, thinking I needed you and you needed me. Gripping so tightly, too ashamed to see the many miracles happening to me. I suppose I was scared. I definitely cared too much about too little and too little about too much. Now I can say goodbye, give freedom a try, let go and live without you. So beautiful. That is. Thank you. So that is really about my journey with where I'm at in my life, about how I'm longing to drop the weight of the past and things that occur on a daily, you know, on a daily basis or weekly basis or whenever they happen. My desire to really just live freely and without those constraints and those weights. Sometimes it's easier than others, sometimes it's not, but it's really about this person inside of me who really wants to no longer be in a cage and be in this prison of whether it's caring what other people think, placing ridiculous pressures on myself to be this person that I think I should be. All these things that I think I and I know some of my close friends have shared with me, we do to ourselves. And it's this unhealthy cycle I think we find ourselves in. And wouldn't it just be wonderful if we could exit the cage and just really run for the fun of it and be free of all those should have, could have, would haves and conversations of self-talk that are not us speaking to ourselves like we're our own best friends.
Right. Or negative. Just over a negative message that we're sending ourselves.
And especially in the year of 2024, now that we've just embarked upon the new year, I think it's very essential for myself to really let go of the past and move into this new year And regardless of it being a new year, just move into this day without those weights and those right. constraints. Because that's another thing, right? It's a new year. I got to do this. I got to do that. I don't want to do that to myself anymore. Right. Mm-hmm. There's life's going to give me enough of that. I don't need to carry additional weight and do it to myself. So I thought this would be, Heidi and I both thought this would be a really great conversation to have on this podcast to talk about some tools she has and really pick her brain on how we can, how I can and others can move forward with more grace for ourselves and really be free of all this noise.
It is noise. It is, yeah. It is definitely noise. All the things that we hold on to that keep us feeling small or keep us feeling like trapped in a thought loop, a negative thought loop. Yeah. So,
very well said. Yeah.
I can't even imagine, like, a minute ago when you were summarizing what this poem meant to you. I mean, I was finding myself aware of, like, what would it be like if we really did let go of the negative messages and negative thoughts that we give ourselves and tell ourselves. And I had to take, like, a breath because not only would it be just such a different way of being, but a life without judgment. I just think that would be such a different
breath of fresh air,
different place to live in our mind and in our heart. And, we would be happier creatures if we could make that happen. So I think it starts here on this podcast.
Like, yeah, I love that.
But, you know, for us personally, as we talk about it, we're also gaining the benefit of figuring out how to do that for ourselves. So, you know, I think
yes.
it starts with us, right? That kind of transformation in the world starts with each individual. So I'm really glad we're doing this today, Dani.
Me too. And as I was telling Heidi before we started recording, it's definitely something that's been affecting me more. And I just had a conversation with one of my best friends this morning about it. And we were like, why is it so hard? You know? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, very, very excited to have this. So what does it mean to let go, Heidi?
Yeah, good question. Good question. When I was reading your poem, I was interpreting it as, not letting go meant trying to control, people, places, and things, and not trusting oneself, mm-hmm. and not being spontaneous, not being courageous enough or brave enough to be spontaneous, not taking time to reflect, not taking time to like pause when we are caught up in an event where we're having a really hard time letting go of the negative thoughts, people pleasing, trying to hold on to relationships that aren't healthy for us. So those are just some of the things that to me seem like very married to this idea of letting go or not letting go. Like that's what it looks like. Just some examples.
Yeah. And I can relate to all that. And I do. I think it's about not accepting what is at the current state. Mm-hmm. Wishing it were different. And yeah, there is this control, this desire to control and make it different. So feeling maybe powerless over the situation to some mm-hmm. extent. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just said it so perfectly. And yeah, the rigidity of it, not allowing ourselves or myself to gracefully be imperfect and learn as I go and not have everything be properly in its place. And, you know, it's so funny as I'm saying it, I'm like, God, that's so ridiculous that I've been doing that to myself, you know? So then it's like, then you judge yourself or I'll judge myself for you know, not being able to let go, and it just compounds the issue, right? It just makes it worse, right? The last thing I need is to feel, be mad at myself because I can't let something go, but I'm sure I'm not alone in that category, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The judgment is definitely part of it. The part of the not letting go is the judgment that follows the thought of feeling out of, like, not able to control a situation or how we're feeling about it, or to not being able to change it. Yeah. Then there's the judgment that comes right afterwards.
Yes.
The double, it's a twofer.
It is. It's definitely like getting stabbed multiple times. It's like first the incident stabs you, and then you right. stab yourself with how you react or respond to the incident. Mm-hmm. That's so well said. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because if stabbing yourself, because it's getting stabbed first wasn't enough, right? We have to like do it again to ourselves.
Right.
Okay. So what are some tools for letting go?
Good question. Let me pick from my kit here. So there are some steps involved in letting go. And step one in my handbook is acknowledge what is happening in the here and now, and don't try to change it. Observe it. Sit in the feeling, the shame, the guilt, the anger for a second, not that long, just to acknowledge that it's there. Not just, do the hard work of acknowledging that it's there in a moment. It's going to feel like an eternity, but just, you know, do the hard work of recognizing it for a couple seconds. Step two would be trying not to change it or fix it, because sometimes what we do is we automatically try to come up with some solution of some sort to change how we feel. Some of us want to avoid how we feel, so we will do things to escape the feeling. My favorite, or my vice of choice, is sometimes eating. Or if I'm in a good place that day, it's going to be taking the dog for a walk, you know? So we do things to try to take care of ourselves. Sometimes not so healthy, sometimes healthy. So there's that urge, I think, to do something, take action right away. But really, it's better, I think, to try not to fix it, because it leads to more acceptance of the self. Like, you're having some feelings, or I'm having some feelings, and I'm allowed to have this feeling, and it's okay that I'm having this feeling, is the act of not changing it or fixing it. So first, it's step one is observing, I'm having this feeling, and then kind of walking myself through that it's okay that you're having this feeling. You don't have to judge it as negative, or I don't have to judge it as negative.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And then the next step would be to take some accountability in the conflict.
So what role did I play in this?
That's a big leap from accepting the feelings that we're having, but I think that's the next indicated step. What is the next indicated step is what I often ask myself. So taking accountability, like you said, like looking at our part in the conflict. And again, without judging it as a bad thing, that we had participation.
That is so hard, I think, to not, I mean, we Monday morning quarterback all the time, right? And so I think observing, moving into that observer mind and that observation mode, right? Is going to definitely be a tool I'm going to need to practice more, because, and it's funny, we don't do this. I was talking about this with my girlfriend this morning. We don't do this to mm-hmm. our friends or people we love and care about. We reserve the right to stab ourselves, right? Or at least I do. I can only speak for myself. So step one, observing. Then mm-hmm. step 1-2 is accepting. And then step 3 is, what role did I play, but without judgment? Mm-hmm. Right. So taking responsibility, but then also giving yourself that grace and saying, okay, yes, this is how I contributed to the current situation. But at the same time, instead of beating myself over the head with a hammer, it's just a fact without weight.
Right.
Okay.
Not good, not bad.
Participation. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because ultimately there is two people in the relationship, or there's two entities in a situation. So it's not all on us, like a lot of the time. It's definitely two entities. Sometimes it's like, it could be a organization, a company, you know, it can be random things. So it's not just people also that we're talking about. And again, when we have anger, when we have guilt, when we have shame, it's two entities sort of involved, is the best way I can put it, for lack of a better way. So the next step after that, step 4 would be, it's kind of in line with step 3 too, focusing on the lesson. Like, what is the takeaway is a good question. What can I take away from the situation? What have I learned about myself?
And it could be something as simple as, I've learned that XYZ is a behavior that is not something that resonates with my moral compass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if we want to give examples.
Okay.
But I mean, I know, in the next portion of our conversation, we're going to talk about something somewhere down the road here. We're going to talk about like a situation where I'll try and apply like what I was dealing with to all these different steps. I'll walk through it myself, but I don't know if you wanted to go into any particular thing right now, Danny, that you want to use as an example.
No, I was just thinking even little things that we can let go or that I have trouble sometimes letting go with. So it could be an interaction with another person, and it could be a very small interaction. Yeah. I was just thinking, you know, after the accountability, and then, you know, let's say someone, I was interacting with someone and they were blatantly lying to me about something. Right. Uh-huh. And I was having trouble letting go of the fact like, well, this person's a liar. How am I ever going to be able to, like, regardless if they're my friend or not, I have to interact with this individual. They're a liar.
Right.
That's something that I'm noticing is upsetting to me.
Right.
So that's what I was saying. So that's the takeaway is that, I'm aware that this behavior is an irritant to me.
Yeah.
And B, what I can learn is that I can interact with this person as little as possible. And that would probably be the best for both of us.
Yep. That's a really good example. Like, I think you're describing boundary work, figuring out like where our boundaries are with someone is sometimes the takeaway from a conflict. Yeah.
Okay. So that's what I was making reference to as an example.
Yeah. Good example. Really good example.
Oh, thank you.
And then step 5 would be, if you want to create an even deeper process of letting go of a behavior or a feeling, is doing a ritual that would symbolize a release of that feeling, behavior, thought loop, negative message, negative narrative, negative core belief.
Whatever it is.
And what that ritual could look like specifically is, sometimes a bath is like a symbolic of renewal or rebirth, or a letter of forgiveness to ourselves or for the other person for hurting us or harming us. So lots of deep work we're inviting ourselves and the viewers to do. But yeah, those are like the steps. That's what it how we can apply the letting go.
I like that. I love the ritual part. I think I forget that part. I think, you know, once I process it, I'm like, oh, it's done. But then it's not always done, right? Like sometimes life gives us the other opportunity to have that lesson again, right? And then you're like, wait, I thought we were done here, but we're not.
Yeah.
And it could be with a different individual. It's just the same lesson appearing multiple times, right?
Right. Yeah. These are definitely lifelong lessons. It's not like master it after doing all this like deep work the first time.
And here I thought we were. Foolish me. What did you want to get into next? What did you have on your...
I have on my agenda, let me see.
I have the benefits of letting go. But I didn't know if you wanted to add anything else to the tools.
Oh, yeah. We could do that. We could talk about the benefits.
Okay.
When we opened the session today, like we were talking about like the freedom that comes with.
Oh, yeah.
The peace that comes with letting go, right?
Yes.
So that's high on the list of priorities, I think, when we think about this act of letting go is we can attain that. Did you want to name something, Danny?
What do you mean? Just talk about like that freedom and that peace that comes with. Yeah. Well, for me, uh-huh. letting go has definitely equated to a better state of mental health overall.
Right.
Feeling right. more at peace with myself and the world.
Right.
It's kind of like my heart expands and it grows a little bigger, like on the Grinch. Like it's like you walk in and to the experience as a little bit like held tightly, and then you yeah. get to this place where you've let go and like your heart grows bigger.
Yeah.
So that's a nice feeling. It feels like freedom, and it feels like exiting a cage and like my poems, the musing said, running for the fun of it. And I think when I'm not letting go, it feels like I'm that hamster on that wheel in that state of rumination, physically and mentally. It's like the same state. And I think, you know, once I let go of something, I'm able to be out of that cage and be in nature and, you know, the environment of my choosing and soar.
Yeah. Oh, so. Though, thank you for sharing all those experiences. I think that's really, those are universal experiences when we feel like trapped in our mind or, you know, don't feel healthy. So
yeah.
Good ones.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think personal growth, like when when we work the steps of letting go, I think we grow and we have less of a chance to reenact behaviors that don't serve us anymore.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Again, like behaviors that lead to us wanting to control people, places, or things, not giving others a chance to participate in decision-making, disrespecting privacy or boundaries, constantly checking in with someone. Like those are the things that like, if they're that are like not, don't promote safety in a relationship. But if we work the steps of letting go, we can see that those are like not productive or like not helpful to a relationship.
Yeah, and there's also, I have in my notes, less freedom from self-destructive or controlling behaviors, which is kind of what you said, like no more self-sabotaging.
Allows us to love with compassion also. Compassion for ourselves and compassion for other people when we learn or work the steps of letting go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those are some good payoffs, I think.
Yeah, no, those are great payoffs. I think the hardest part is getting there.
For sure.
You know, we all have things in our past or our present that I think challenge us to get to that place where we're at the growth point where we can fully let go and take a step. It's kind of like Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade. I think that's the one where he goes to the temple to get the holy, to get the cup of Christ. And, you know, he has to take that leap of faith step off the cliff. And, you know, it's, you can't see the step in front of you. So it looks like he's stepping off the cliff. And that's very much what letting go can feel like sometimes. And having that faith and having that trust, right?
Totally.
So yeah, I mean, it does often require getting, at least for me, getting to that point where I'm ready to walk off that cliff and like do that next step that feels very uncomfortable. But it's so much more uncomfortable to be ruminating and playing the tape over and over again and being stuck in whatever that repetitive toxic pattern anyone is, right? Or I've found myself in. But yeah, that's what I think about when I think of letting go. You know, and it's so funny, like you could talk to tons of different people, because I've been having this conversation over the break with different people and talking about like, oh yeah, I'm doing a podcast with Heidi about letting go. And, you know, even my, you know, I've just had close people be like, oh really? What are the tools I want to know, you know? And it's in that step one, right? Is really like the pre-step of this first step is knowing what the tools are. And then I think it's that practice, right? It's like anytime you try something new, it's going to be, you know, it's like making a recipe for the first time. You know, if you're baking a cake for the first time, you're making a dinner that you haven't made before, you know, the first time you might nail it, but you know, the second time you might get a little nervous or something might go wrong. And it's like, you know, that repetition, but yeah, I definitely would love to think, and I am of the mindset that, you know, the things that occur in my life are not happening to me. They're happening for me. And so I try to always be like, what's the lesson? What am I to learn? And sometimes it doesn't feel like it's so obvious all the time. And that can be the frustrating part for me. And then it could be something simple, like you said, like boundary work, you know, recognizing your worth and realizing that, you know, the desire to please or the desire to problem solve and fix isn't applicable in this situation, right? Those are tools best suited for myself in a different arena, not in this one, if that makes sense.
It does.
So
sometimes the fixing applies to trying to fix other people. Sometimes the fixing what it really should apply towards fixing me.
Right. Because I wouldn't want anyone else trying to fix me. If anyone's going to fix me, I want it to be me. So why would I go around trying to fix someone else? I mean, it's so logical when you actually break it down and talk about it. But the funny thing about it is sometimes I feel like emotions can be anything but logical. Sometimes they're deeper. They're, you know, shattered glass memories from a past or, just programming. We've forgotten that we got at one point in our life.
Yeah. Or we get like triggered and stuck in a trap, you know, in a situation. And it's really hard to be objective when we are reliving something, and it's so much easier to be objective about someone else versus ourselves. I mean, it's really hard when we're in it. So
trying not to judge ourselves
for, you know, not being clear, not having the clarity, or the, you know, when it feels foggy and you're feeling lost. It's okay. You're exactly where you're supposed to be,
right? And just remembering that.
Yeah. We had a really funny back and forth the first recording about the your what you were talking about earlier, the stepping off the ledge, what it feels like to let go. Like it feels really scary sometimes because we don't know what's going to happen.
Yes, it's much easier to stay. And I
In
found
the
myself doing this. Oh
loop.
yeah. It's much easier to stay in a negative loop and thought pattern than it is to break that bad habit and take that leap of faith. And I found myself unfortunately doing that in the past. And sometimes, and recently, it depends on the situation and what my relationship is with that situation. But yeah, it is really some lessons are much harder. And then there'll be a day where I'll be like, yeah, I got this. Like, I'm letting this go. I don't care anymore. I am over it. And then the next day I'm like, what?
No.
I just took 50 steps back. Like, I don't understand. Like, I took 52 forward, but I just took, or I took, 49 forward and I just took 50 back. Like, what happened? And that's
That's the
definitely,
process.
that's definitely a process. That's definitely, and I think that's something I personally need to work on giving myself, that being a better best friend to myself, and offering myself more grace. 'Cause again, when I was having that conversation with my friend this morning about letting go and things that were, annoying us, she at one point was like, "Well, you're probably thinking." And I was like, "Actually, that's not what I was thinking at all. What I was thinking was how much easier that situation would have been if you had just had that conversation in person, and that technology is not really helpful and yada yada yada." But it's very hard to look at ourselves through the lens, another lens, when we've picked the one up that we've decided we're going to look through. And even, yeah, and I did make a joke last time we were recording that I said, when I was in, I think third grade. Yeah, third grade, I was really preppy and I went to school back east, and I showed up with this cute little like yellow and blue striped shirt.
So
I mean, big
cute.
blocks of yellow. Yeah, it was really cute. And these jeans and like, penny loafers or whatever. And this boy that I'm sure I thought was cute at the time came up to me and said, "You look like a banana." And I had
Ouch.
bright blonde like towhead hair, and it was, and that's something like this small, like not even, it shouldn't even make the, shouldn't even make the scale. But, we're so impressionable at different parts of our lives or whatever. I couldn't unsee looking like a banana wearing yellow for like quite some time. It was like that comment was then in my brain. And so, now I love the color yellow. I think it's very bright and fun and happy. It's the color of the sun. And so I'm like, I'm a banana, eat me.
Enjoy it. Yeah,
Eat me,
exactly.
right? Like, you don't like it, not my problem. But, we were joking about that, and it was but it's funny, and it's like I can laugh about it, and I think like that's the healing, right? I mean, not that that required healing, but that's like the place where you're like, yeah, I'm over this. Like, this isn't a big deal. But my point in that story is that it's such a small thing, right? But like, someone can say that. Like, I've been out with people, and people be like, "Oh, I don't like that shirt," or "I don't like," and I'm like, "You're giving that person a complex. I don't even think they asked for your opinion." And we're like, we can be at times as humans, or I can be too, sometimes like us, a giant walking piece of Velcro. And I don't want all that stuff to stick. It's not doing me a favor. It's noise, as we said at the beginning. And, the goal, I guess, is to be like Teflon, right? But still be human.
Exactly. Well, to have boundaries, I think, to make sure that we have boundaries so that we don't take on everything that is presented to us. And to own being a banana, like it's
Like a
okay.
fart blowing in a wind, like someone else farted. I don't need to be the smell that just came out of their butt. Like, that is not my role. That is their gas. That is their meal. That is their diet. That is making them, right? That is making them stink. I don't need to smell like your butt because they farted. Like, that's not my place. right? Like, that's like what the, that's what it's all about. It's like we're all walking around like farting on each other, and it's like we need to just like own our own diet and our own stuff. Stop spreading the stink.
Right. Keep 10 feet apart.
Right.
Keep yourself 10 feet apart.
Social distancing.
Keep us safe.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, did you have anything else that you wanted to add before we get into this podcast question?
I don't think so. Those were good examples of personal experiences, I think, with letting go. So I'm good. I'm good. We can
move on. Okay. Okay. Well, I'm going to ask you to describe a time when letting go was hard for you and what you did to give yourself grace or to help yourself let go.
You know, I answered this question, of course, during our first recording. And
right.
It's still the same answer to the question because it happens every day. So I got on the scale this morning, as I do from time to time. And that number, I got stuck on the number. And the narrative that I go through when I see the number and there's mirrors all over the bathroom, right? So that's what I think is a more recent, more frequent event that happens to me, where that negative narrative or the core belief that I'm not good enough, you know, the feelings of inadequacy, all that gets stirred up. So it's really hard to, I think I've come to terms with the fact that this is a core belief and it's not going to change, and I'm not going to get rid of it because it's part of who I am. Mm-hmm. But I can do the work of letting it go when I'm aware that it's occurring. And the acts of kindness that I do for myself that help me shift that thought pattern, are things like, you know, next to the scale, I have a little note that says, you know, you are not this number. And I look in the mirror and I identify something that I do find beautiful when I see myself naked.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I want to do the deeper work, like when I journal at the end of the day, you know, I will sometimes, not always, often not, but I will do the steps 1 through 5 to try to do the deeper work of changing those recovering from the negative thoughts that I'm having about myself, or I want to get more efficient is the goal. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what the point of doing all the, like, working the steps for me is, to get to a quicker place of self-love and self-acceptance and freedom. Mm-hmm. From the pain of holding on to those negative core beliefs. So, and then also, like, surrounding myself with people who are affirming, that's very helpful for helping me cope with the negative messages that I give myself. Being in my body, like I have a practice, a yoga practice that I am so grateful for and participate in as often as I can during the week. And that really helps me love the physical body that I'm in, and all different parts of my body, because I'm amazed at what I can do in those classes. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's a daily thing that I deal with when it comes to applying this concept of, like, letting go. It's something I definitely am working on every day.
Do you find it difficult? And thank you for sharing that. That was beautiful. Sure. And you are beautiful. Do you find it difficult to, for me, I notice that when I'm trying to let stuff go, if I, the hardest part for me, or the part that sticks for me, is the negative self-talk. So the giving myself grace is the muscle that I need to flex more. That's not something that I'm naturally good at giving myself. I think the note that you put next to the scale is beautiful. I should put some post-its on some mirrors. Like, you're amazing, you know, cause I'm very, like, the reason I love sports and I love swimming and I love karate and the things that I'm doing is cause I feel like, there's a physical exertion, and then there's tangible results from that physical exertion.
Right.
The self-work is not tangible.
Yeah.
And so having that patience and that personal grace is a little bit harder for me.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think the note, I'm kind of answering my own question, but I was just, but I'm just curious, like, do you think that that part is hard for you? Cause I can tend to go to the part like, why can't I let this go? I'm a failure. I'm so ashamed. This is ridiculous. Why am I consumed by something so ridiculous? And you don't feel like you're talking to yourself so negatively, but you would never say that to a friend.
Right, right. But it is so automatic.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're asking, I think the question maybe you're asking is like, how can I make it more, make it less automatic, or like,
yes,
how
yeah,
can I change that?
Like, my dad was, and I were talking about it. My dad's like, just tell those voices to go away.
Easier said than done though. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that two things, I mean, yes, I have, yes, it is really hard. And I think over the years of doing the self-reflection, you know, taking the time to do the self-reflection or check in with myself, and how I'm feeling, and recognizing that there is some relief when I do the work, paying attention to that relief that I get over the years now, that is a little bit more automatic too. Like, if I take the second to acknowledge how I'm feeling and do the hard work of changing the story that I'm telling myself, the lie, the myth that I am thinking.
Oh, about. I love that.
Yeah.
The lie, the myth. I'm going to use that now. I'm going to be like, what lie are you telling me right now? You don't know what I'm talking about. It is, because it's not true.
No, it's not true.
It's a bad narrative.
Incorrect. Inaccurate.
Yeah. It's a mean narrative.
It is a mean narrative.
Being a mean girl to myself. Oh, no.
So taking,
but yeah,
taking that second, I think gives me some relief, has given me some relief, and acknowledging that there's relief there. I think over the years now, I'm like, okay, if I do the work, then I can feel better. You know, like,
okay,
I want to feel better. I don't want to feel like crap.
Right. I want that peace. Right. I want that. Yeah. That serenity. So yeah. It's Seinfeld, when he keeps saying serenity now and he goes nuts. The more he chases it, the more it flees.
Right.
Which is true of life in a lot of ways sometimes. But no, I think that's wonderful advice. And I think,
it involves a lot of hard work though.
It does. It's not easy, but I think having a strategy and a tool, which is what you're providing me and the audience, obviously with the disclaimer in mind, is, very helpful and something that I can say at work, I can apply.
Yeah.
And again, that's like, you know, the athlete in me being like, okay, I can apply this next time this happens. Like, I can not control this, but I have a strategy.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah. And I'm all about strategies. That's helpful. You know, no one wants to be drowning without a life line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else you want to add?
I don't think so. I think we can move on.
Okay.
Part 10.
Part 10. Let's go over her PSA and books for the readers and listeners. Yes.
Right. Let's see. Books. So on the theme of forgiveness, I think finding forgiveness for ourselves and others, there's wonderful guidance from the Dalai Lama. He wrote a book called Finding Forgiveness, The 7 Steps for Letting Go of Anger and Bitterness. It's a really, really good speaking of like the blueprint or the guide or the map for letting go. Like, who better than the Dalai Lama to teach us?
I know.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's top of my list. And then the next book that I think really speaks to the art and the craft and the language of letting go is by Melody Beattie. And her book is titled The Language of Letting Go, The Journal. And it is basically a meditation book that has exercises on how to let go of self-destructive thoughts and feelings like fear, shame, anger, and self-doubt.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's great.
Yeah, that's a really active way to participate, I think, in letting go is getting a journal like that that really focuses on how to work through those self-destructive thoughts and feelings.
I love that.
Yeah. And then last but not least is Eckhart Tolle. He's one of my faves. And
yeah.
I still really love his first book, The Power of Now. Earlier we were talking about the skill of like being the observer, and he really teaches the reader to be the observer of their thoughts and feelings. So that being the first step to letting go, I think he really does. And I'm like, so beautifully written. I love his books.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. So those are my three top book picks for letting go and figuring out how to do it and doing it.
Love it.
And then we have my favorite part. Well, I can't say I love a lot of what we do, but like one of my favorite things to do is talk about resources out in the community. And today, what happened to that list? Hang on. Sorry.
No worries.
Pulled out the wrong counseling center information. So the counseling center for this podcast that we're focusing on is the Airport Marina Counseling Center, located in Los Angeles. It's near the airport, hence the name, and it serves the communities of near LAX. But I do know people that have lived in other areas, other parts of Southern California who have totally gone there. So it's not just limited to providing services to people near the airport.
Okay.
Oh, wait, here it is. Okay.
Okay.
So Airport Marina Counseling Center, the address is 7891 La Tijera Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90045. And the phone number is 310-670-1410. And they offer telehealth and in-person therapy. Their office hours, in-person office hours, are Monday through Wednesday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., Thursday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Those are their in-person hours. Um, And then telehealth, there's lots of hours for telehealth. I think they probably right. still as needed. And again, I don't think I mentioned this earlier. They offer therapy, psychotherapy for individuals, couples, children, families, group therapy, and they even offer psychiatry. So,
oh, wow.
Kind of nice. You get a more holistic treatment if you mm-hmm. are in need of psychiatry as well. And what else can I tell you? They are a LGBTQ plus affirmative therapy center. They have a what they call a safe zone for people of all sexual orientations, gender expression, and gender identity. So I love that.
That's wonderful. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. That was very helpful. And hopefully, I will be posting those resources in the copy below the podcast. So look there for this information if you need it. And then obviously reach out if you have any questions. And we're going to try an interactive sign out that we messed up last time. So let's see if we can mess it up this time. Okay. So I say to Heidi, what do I say the next time somebody tells me, Danny, just let it go already?
And then Heidi says, you let go of trying to get me to let go, Danny.
You did it.
Ta-da!
I give you a 10. The 0 should be bigger. Da 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 da. That was amazing. Well, thank you, audience. We appreciate you, and we will see you for our next podcast. Danny, Happy New Year.
Be the banana.
I will be the banana. Okay. Pretend I'm wearing yellow.
10 out of 10.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.